This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Christine.
This is week number three for you.
Yep, three in a row. Three for three.
3 weeks, neither of us have heard hide nor hair from Tim.
Is he even still
Who knows
alive?
What happened?
Is he on a shipwreck somewhere?
Yeah, has he run off with his baby?
Maybe he ran away with his baby.
Maybe he got, you know... Like, I don't want anybody else to touch my baby. I want to keep my baby safe from the world. And he's run off to the Galapagos Islands or something like that.
That's probably what he did.
How are you enjoying your tenure on this podcast?
It's been a real thrill. It's nice to talk into a microphone every once in a while.
The thrill of a lifetime, would you say?
The thrill of my lifetime, yeah. I haven't done very much.
Well, look, it's not a nice compliment if then you say I haven't done very much.
Oh, sorry. What I mean is it's a real honor, a thrill, and a privilege to get to sit here with you, Tom.
Yes, and Ginger. Ginger's right by your side.
I know. Right after I complimented her breath, she did something a little smelly.
What?
Breathed.
Oh, breathe. I thought you were going to say, like, chewed her butt or something, because she does that sometimes.
I don't even know what that means.
I'm going to dispense with some of the normal pageantry.
No niceties today, Tom.
No, because look, we were going to do an episode about archery and then maybe solve one problem at the end, but we got inundated with problems.
We're going to solve all the problems.
So, you know, I think a lot of people, no idea why, but they've heard you talk and they're like, you know what? This is the time I'm going to send in a problem. This woman, she seems like she's got it all figured out.
You think they know I'm a woman?
I would hope that they know you're a woman.
I'm a gal, not yet a woman.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
mixed effort.
The first one, you know what?
Wait, shouldn't we intro it more so that people that don't already know about solving problems?
Email us at thecompleteguidetoeverything@gmail.com if you have a problem you'd like to get solved.
We're going to solve it.
Yeah.
We're going to give us... We're going to give ourselves and you our sage counsel.
Yes. Do you have any other...
I just feel like...
Any other comments how I should be running my show?
Yes. Well, now that I'm in week three, I want a clean house.
Yeah.
You're fired.
Christ. I'm not... You know what? Sometimes these ones are tricky where like people are like, don't say my name, but they don't say it till the end. This person... You know what? Based on this... question, I'm not going to say this.
Yeah, use a pseudonym.
Give me a woman's name.
Martha.
That's too close to the actual name.
You've already said too much. Okay, I'll give you a random woman's name. How about, I'm not going to do Martha.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a random woman's name, Jane.
Okay, Jane. First and foremost is from Jane now. Christine, you're doing an amazing job filling in for Tim.
Thanks, Jane.
And Tom, great job running things on your own. I'm a longtime fan. Always feels like I'm hanging out with my friends Tim and Tom rather than listening to a podcast.
And your new friend, Christine.
Well, she didn't say
We're
that.
Getting there.
Don't put words in her mouth. I have a problem or more like something I'm considering.
Ooh.
Oh, she did say, please don't use my name unless you've accidentally already said it, Tom. You're
Jane
supposed to put that up higher, Jane.
Jane knows what's up.
Just kidding. It's fine either way. I've been with my boyfriend for a long time. We recently bought a house together and have a great, healthy relationship. We've never been in a rush to get married, but I just know he's the one. We've talked about marriage and both agree when we get married, we'll host a big rave in Punta Cana instead of a traditional wedding.
Okay.
And hopefully... me, you, Tim will all be invited.
Oh my gosh, we're so fun at weddings. Jane, invite us.
We both don't care about all the circumstance around marriage. He is much less in a rush than I am. Starting in the past that I think she meant stating in the past. that when I'm ready to let him know and we'll do it. I'm also not rushing, but it is in the back of my mind as something I want fairly soon. I've recently been thinking that it might be fun for me to propose to him.
Jane!
But the little girl in me worries she'll miss out on the cutesy traditional proposal she always wanted. Should I propose to my boyfriend and break all those pesky traditional gender norms? Or should I let my inner Disney princess shine and wait until he pops the question? With love, Jane.
Don't you just think Jane's the best?
I mean, until I get that wedding invite, I'm withholding.
Well, it's less conditional for me. I feel like, well, what's your first blush info on this, Tom? What do you think she should do? I have a lot of thoughts, believe it or not.
Yeah. All right. Let's hear your thoughts then. Because I don't have a huge amount of thoughts.
Yeah. And I don't know if we have this in common. I don't want to assume. But for me, I am not a married person. And mm-hmm. I think that a lot of
that I'm not married, right?
Well, that's not the part I meant, whether or not we have. In
you don't have to so pretend funny. Like you don't know any personal details
about
me. I don't
know for sure your
me.
Marital status.
You spent an hour talking to my girlfriend.
Yeah, and I didn't know if that's like a side thing.
Yeah, she doesn't know that I'm married
secret
either.
Secret family.
Yeah, so please keep it to yourself.
Wouldn't that be a real surprise? I just don't think, I think if it matters to you, mm-hmm. it matters to you. But there's a lot of pomp and circumstance around proposals.
Right.
And weddings. And that's great.
Yeah.
It's great to celebrate love. What it sounds like to me is that these two people are pretty sure about each other. Mm-hmm. And Jane loves her boo in the parlance of our time. And she feels
sure. I don't
think
that's the parlance of our time anymore, but sure.
Yeah, the parlance of 2008.
Now, boo has become bae.
That's true. But I think bae is also falling out of fashion.
What are you talking about? I heard that 10 years ago for the first time.
You heard sitting on the dock.
You know, I rolled down all
song.
These windows.
It's so noisy.
And now there's like a fire outside. This always happens. Also, I didn't roll them down. We're not in my car.
We're at a drive-thru at Wendy's with the windows rolled down. Those
We're parked in an empty lot.
And it's on near a building we set on fire. Imagine if we were arsonists doing this from a car and waiting for
it. It was like the podcast isn't getting enough attention. Start a fire.
A smoke-free, fume-free.
I would say that I agree with that, that I think proposals are a very personal type thing.
Yeah.
So the example that I would give is I hate a big fan, when people do a flash mob or whatever.
Yeah, that's so weird, honestly. No offense.
But
if
that's if that's your partner's thing.
Yes.
Then great.
Yes.
But I think a lot of times it's not the person's partner's thing.
Yeah,
it's that person's
their thing. Yes. Yep.
And yeah. I would extend that advice to everything.
Yeah.
So I think, you know your boyfriend better than us.
Yeah, Jane.
If you think he'd be into that, if he's all about, flipping the bird to gender norms and stuff, then yeah, why not?
And if you think you want to be married to this person, I don't think there's any reason not to say, I want to marry you, and I'm going to do a special little thing to ask you to marry me.
Yeah.
What do you think Jane's boyfriend is called?
Tarzan.
Flop. Flop feels mean, but I just was thinking
Tarzan. Jane and Tarzan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get it. I think if Jane is feeling I kind of want to make a grand gesture to Tarzan.
Mm. Yeah. Well, but what about this? Tarzan has said, when you want to get married, just tell me. Tell me when you're ready, and then I'll...
Well, I think my question back to Jane, and unfortunately she's not on the call. She's not here at this Arby's with us. Arby's.
Wendy's. I wish.
Arson.
Because here's the problem. What if Tarzan, he's got some big plan in his head, a way
well,
to
what's
propose.
What's the worst that can happen? Have you ever seen that viral video where those two girls are surprising each other with a proposal at the same time, and it's the sweetest dang thing you've ever seen because they both had the same idea. So first of all, don't expect that, Jane. Right. But if he's sure you're the one, and mm-hmm. you're sure he's the one, and it doesn't really... I think you're onto something, Tom. Mm-hmm. I think she's got 2 to 5 options, and I'm going to list them all.
It's only an hour-long podcast. We have other problems to solve.
And this isn't a problem, even.
No. I mean, and she was upfront about that.
I think my two modes of thought here. RJ, and you could say to Tarzan, I'm thinking seriously about what we talked about, and I do want us to get married. What do you think? And then he, that's a nudge he needs, and maybe he does a flash mob if that's what you're into, Jane.
Right, right.
Or it's a conversation, and nobody even necessarily has to do a big grand gesture, but here we are, and now, like...
Well, but I think she wants a grand gesture on somebody's end, I think.
Well, I think if what's holding her back is the Disney princess, shouldn't he propose to me, or the story you'll tell other people, you always get to decide what you tell other people.
Right, but you don't want to lie. You don't want to make your whole life a lie.
No, but if she says, I'm going to... If she decides I want to do a big proposal to my sweetheart...
Right.
And then does that, that's also a great story. And, like, honestly... You know, they got the house. She's got the Tarzan.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you want to marry him. Tell him.
Yeah.
Tell him on one knee and maybe with like a chorus of, what do you think? Barbershop quartet? Singing Telegram?
College a cappella group.
singing like
White Wedding.
Maybe. Yeah, that'd be a nice one.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but the little girl in me worries she'll miss out. I mean, I guess it depends on how big that little girl is.
I think you mean in terms of proportion and her. And it depends on what you've dreamed of. If you want to get swept off your feet, make sure he knows that. If you want to marry this person, focus on what's going to make that feel special to you and to him. Sweep him off his feet, gals.
All right. Problem solved. Thanks, Jane.
Jane, let us know how it goes.
Yeah. And with some all expenses paid trips to Punta Canta.
Yeah. And I'm going to need an oceanfront view.
Yes.
And I think like Mai Tais.
Right. And make sure the tickets are refundable in case we want to go a different time.
Jane, I'll be there.
All right, this next one, I'm also not... give me a man's name.
Barney.
All right, Barney. Christine and Tom, the holidays are coming up, which means it's time to pick out gifts.
Oh, boy.
My wife and I usually get each other 1 to 2 small things, and it's always a struggle for me to pick out what to get her.
Oh, I love this one already, Barney.
She is the master of gift giving, but I can only narrow it down to a category, and then I am unable to choose a specific thing because I want her to pick it out so she actually gets what she wants. Mm. For example, if I know she wants more indoor pots for her plants, when I go to look, there are too many designs that to choose from. I would prefer her to pick it out so she actually likes them, but we share the same money, so at that point, she might as well just be getting it for herself. So I know when I ask her, it doesn't feel as thoughtful. So my question is, would you prefer to get something you want, but not exactly the thing you would pick and be surprised, or not be surprised and be asked what you want from a narrowed down list? Another option I have thought of is just to look at her phone when she is busy doing something else.
That's a whole other thing, Barney.
And scroll through her Instagram ads since they seem to know her so well. We swap phones all the time. This wouldn't be an invasion of her privacy.
Thanks for saying so, Barney.
They have an open marriage.
They have an open relationship.
They swap phones. Side comment. When Tim comes back, it would be interesting to have him and his wife on if she is comfortable with that.
Yes.
To hear about how everything is going. Yes. Congrats to them and great job to everyone. On the recent episodes.
Oh, this is a love fest.
It really is.
It's a real bounty. I want to say what I'm hearing in Barney's question, and I tend to see things with rose-colored glasses, sunny side up, etc. But don't you just feel like Barney loves his wife so much?
Is that too dorky to say? Barney's got, you know, family in every town.
Okay, maybe Barney's a real
Maybe he's a traveling salesman. He's on the road an awful lot.
I think you're like, I know she loves beautiful pots for her plants, but I can't decide which one is beautiful enough for her. The most beautiful potted plant of all.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't.
I don't know if it's nice to call your wife a potted plant, even if you do say she's beautiful.
Yeah, that was the part. Because I'm nervous I'm too sincere on this thing.
I also think, like, I mean, maybe we're focusing too much on this specific example, but like, Yeah, how many pot designs are there?
There are a lot. Have you ever been to Crest Hardware in Williamsburg, Brooklyn?
No, I've been. Can we get their sponsorship? Like, I've been to other plant stores, and I don't know. Like, there's different pots, but, like, I don't know. I feel like this is the type of thing where you could ask your wife, like, what style do you like? But then you can pick.
Well, I think he could also potentially kind of, like, do a little this or this. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be potted plant.
You did something with your thumb.
Yeah, you can't see me, everybody. You know, do you like a glossy, bright colored ceramic mug? Maybe I'm thinking of getting this for my sister. Help me out. Do you like the glossy one or do you like the terracotta one?
But then she thinks of your sister. Like, well, based on what she likes.
But also look at the pots she already has for her plants.
And what if he doesn't even have a sister? And then she's like,
you have a sister, and then it becomes a whole thing.
And then that's, what else are you not telling me?
And maybe they go on Maury Povich.
Yeah, what else are you not telling me? Why are you on the road 300 days out of the year?
You really think he's a traveling salesman. Is Maury Povich still on?
That's a good question.
We
don't maybe?
Know. We think maybe.
Yeah, maybe, but also maybe not.
Either
if Maury Povich isn't still on, there's certainly something that's taking its place.
Exactly. Google it if you don't know.
Well, I mean, we don't know, so.
I think I have a clear answer to this one. Mm-hmm. Buy the one that makes you think of her, right?
Yeah.
Because for me, so I'm a person who loves, I love the act of small gift giving. I think it's a really lovely.
That's interesting. I've never gotten a small gift from you.
I said it wrong. I love to receive small gifts.
Oh, I see.
But I think, hey, this made me think of you. It's such a delightful little gesture.
Yeah.
And if it's not what she would have picked out for herself, that's kind of the point. She can go pick out one for herself.
Yeah. I would say that I'd rather be surprised than get exactly what I want. I mean, I guess it's different if you're talking about, like, I live in a car commercial and I'm going to, you know, get a car with a bow on it on Christmas morning.
Right.
Then it's like, this is something I'm going to be, like, using every day.
Or my new luxury coat.
Yeah.
You want to be able to make sure it fits.
Right. But if it's smaller items, then I think you've got to, then it's especially not a, like,
the stakes are a little bit lower and it's just sweet. It gets to just be sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. And when it's something that's perhaps unexpected, then it's nice where, you know, it is different if somebody's like, my coat, to use your example, my coat's worn out. I need a new coat.
Right. That's practical.
Yeah, and then they're going to be wearing it every day, so you want to make sure that you get something right. You don't want to replace their, navy blue petticoat with a bright neon green windbreaker.
Yeah, those are really different coats.
But you got to be like, you said you want a coat.
Did you get them at Petticoat Junction?
I thought this looked cool.
I love this coat.
Yeah. I had a lot of windbreakers when I was
Are windbreakers even still available? I had a lot of windbreakers too. I had one that you had to pull over your head. The zipper didn't go all the way down.
Okay.
I loved that thing. It was teal and
white.
But
I also feel like, did windbreakers really do anything?
No. I mean,
they broke the wind.
They broke the wind a little.
Well, guess what? So did I.
He keeps asking me to pull his finger.
I mean, I liked wearing them when I was 12 because you could get them in neon colors.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I... And also, you're at that age where you're being told, put a coat
on. You
got to
put on a coat and it's like, this is a good compromise.
Right.
For parents
but
and kids.
But they don't
kids.
Really do anything.
No, they barely do anything. I guess if you put it over like a t-shirt, it helps to insulate you
as
a little bit.
As opposed to what?
Once I was in my windbreaker, in my pullover windbreaker.
Not having anything underneath at all?
And I didn't know. I mean, and as an extra layer. It was pretty cold and I wasn't warm enough in my windbreaker.
Yeah.
And I tucked my arms into the torso of the jacket. I took my arms out of
Very
the sleeves.
Dangerous.
Well, and little did I know, but of course, guess what happened? I tripped over the sidewalk and smashed my face. I was very little. And I couldn't, I couldn't catch myself on these hands.
Well, the hands were in the windbreaker.
Yep.
All right.
Big
so
mistake.
Let that be a cautionary tale
Barney,
to everybody out there.
And Barney in particular, I think the answer is don't tuck your arms inside the trunk of your coat. Live large. And right, it's a small thing. And if she doesn't love it aesthetically, she's probably going to be like,
probably
hey,
not for you.
This is cool. It made you, think of me. Or she'll be like, boy, he doesn't understand me at all. No pressure.
Yeah.
But then she'll just put it, what, in the bathroom? With her plant in the bathroom? Are you going to put a plant in it, Barney?
Well, he was using this as just like a broad example.
I think if somebody that loved me very much and that I loved very much said, I'm going to take you to Home Depot and you can pick out a pot for your plants.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, no, thank you.
Yeah, I don't want
that'd
go
be
to
nothing
Home
I'd
Depot.
Ever want to do specifically. I'd be like, yeah, I do love pots for my plants.
Have you ever been to Home Depot and not being completely overwhelmed?
Never, once ever. I've only ever been very overwhelmed there. Everything's too big.
It's too big and things are organized in a way that doesn't 100% make sense.
I think it only makes sense if you do a lot of like electrical work, maybe.
All right. I just know, like, I was there a year ago because we painted the apartment. So I had to like get a lot of paint and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, how come all the paint stuff's not in one place?
It's not? I thought it was all in the middle.
It's like kind of all in the middle. it was all in the middle, but it was like,
it wasn't all together.
Some brushes were in one aisle and some brushes were in a different aisle. Put all the brushes in one aisle.
Put all the brushes in one aisle. That makes no sense.
Probably the people making paint, they're like, we want all the paint to be in the front of the aisles.
You think it's like the big paint.
Yeah. And then they tell you, don't drink the paint, but you can have a little,
Some of it's so appetizing.
Exactly. Some of these colors, they're begging you to
it's like, is that sherbet?
Try drinking some of the paint.
Is it pronounced sherbet?
I think that's technically right, but I say sherbet.
Yeah.
Because that just sounds better.
It does sound better, but does it have a second R?
They should change it to sherbet.
Does it even have a second R? I don't think it's sherbet.
And then sorbet.
It's like, why are there all these frozen, complicated words?
Come up with something
easier
for
us
all to follow.
Call it milky ice or regular ice.
Call it all ice cream.
Sweet ice.
Give a shit.
See if I don't care.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, Christine, how are you feeling so far solving these problems?
Is it
too much?
No.
Are you overwhelmed with other people's...
I'm overwhelmed with feeling. Wow. Everyone's just trying to show love for their partners. Is this the Valentine's Day episode?
All right. This one, again, give me a woman's name.
Lucinda.
Okay. This is from Lucinda. Hi, Tom, Christine, and Ginger.
Oh, hi, Ginger.
I'm hoping you can help me out with a work problem.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. I mean that sincerely, although it sounded sarcastic. Lucinda, we got you.
Oh, great.
I'm off the clock.
I manage about 25 people in an academic setting.
Good for you.
And one of the folks I supervise seems to get on everyone's nerves. Mm. She isn't doing anything wrong, but she annoys everybody. Mm. Because I'm the manager, people complain to me about how annoying she is, as if I should address it. Some things, like her frequent complaining without offering any ideas for a solution and running ineffective meetings, I can manage. Mm-hmm. The complaints I get are that she says, too much.
Uh-oh.
And that this should be addressed due to her teaching role.
Oh, boy.
She sounds whiny and that she ends sentences with an upturn. I have observed her teaching and I think she does a good job. And I frankly feel like the complaints I get about her are mostly just sexist, even though they're coming from other women. Yes, there are some ways in which she is just annoying, but so what? Any advice you have on how to handle the employee herself or those complaining about her would be appreciated. Thanks. Please don't use my name. P.S. Can you tell people like to complain a lot here? Yeah, it's awesome. I suppose that means at her job, not at our podcast.
Well, both.
It's true.
But people like to complain.
Nobody
everywhere.
Ever writes in with a question. All right, solve my problem. Should I get a Ferrari or a Lamborghini?
I really liked Lucinda's question because I was formulating how I was going to say, well, what you're dealing with here is a bunch of sexists. And then she knew. She already knows. I think you should be the first one to answer this question.
So should she cancel them? Should she get them canceled?
Who, the complainers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put them on blast.
She could cancel 24 of her direct reports.
Well, she didn't say they all complain. I'm sure some of them.
25 is a lot of people to manage. So, Lucinda,
I've managed more than that. I bet she's tired.
I haven't.
Actually, I don't know if I have. I've managed around that number of people, I think.
My most, I think, was 8.
Wow. Well, surprised they let you manage. They let you manage 8 people, huh?
Mm-hmm. It worked out okay. sort of.
Yeah, I mean, that is an annoying thing about like being a manager when people come and complain mm-hmm. about things where it's like that has really nothing to do with like work or specifically your job, like mind your own business.
Right. Why is it bothering you so much?
Yeah. And these examples of the saying and whiny and end sentences with an upturn, especially if it's a teacher, then it's like, well, that's something for the students to complain about.
Yeah. What is the issue that other people are going to the manager to be like, policing the way she talks. That really is infuriating.
Yeah.
What do you think she should do? You've managed so many people. So yeah. You probably have some good ideas.
Well, I'm also thinking like dealing with, you know, worker employee complaints was also like my least. You know,
of
that's,
course.
That's
and about worst. Each other. Right. Yeah. Come on.
And that's part of the job where, I mean, that probably real answer here is that she should tell these people, like, oh, have you talked to her about this, about your concerns?
Or, well, but even that.
But that's, yeah, that it's also like, yeah, you don't necessarily be like, oh, have you gone and critiqued this woman's teachings?
But it doesn't sound like the content. Lucinda's saying she's a perfectly good teacher. She does a perfectly good job.
Right.
And these folks are just feeling like maybe that she's undermining her own credibility because she has these historically feminized, I'm using air quotes, everybody, these mm-hmm. historically feminized ways of speaking.
Yeah.
Oh, look what I did. I said because that's a thing I do and I still have credibility.
Well,
everybody.
I don't do it, so.
You've never said
I've never
that's
said
probably true.
Because I'm a strong, confident man who knows what he's going to say in any situation.
He's pausing so much more between each word so he doesn't accidentally
say. It's better than
saying, I don't think so. See what I did?
I don't think so.
I mean, I think Lucinda should talk to these complainers and ask, like, what is it that bothers you so much about it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's probably the the actual right answer.
What was the complaint they had that she said she can manage?
Sorry. Oh,
he's doing it, everybody.
I can't find it.
I already can't remember because of things that are going on in my brain.
Complaining to me about how annoying she is. Some things like her frequent complaining without offering any ideas for a solution.
To keep it above the line.
Or running ineffective meetings I can manage.
Yes. So she's got that. She doesn't need us for that. But she wants to talk about how to deal with, I think, like at maximum, anything that Lucinda says to this person is like about those actual issues of like, don't bring a question forward without a solution. And also, we've heard some feedback, if anything, right? We've heard some feedback that year.
That you...
You're annoying? That, you can't tell someone they're annoying?
annoying?
I hate to say it, but you're annoying.
I mean, that's also... Every workplace has annoying people, and there's kind of only so much you can do about it.
I also kind of wonder what vicinity they're in to one another, that it's bothering other people enough to talk to
teachers,
their manager
that's,
about it.
That's kind
of
weird.
Lucinda, you know what I think you should do is be like, you know, policing people's ways of speaking isn't actually part of my job, and I'm very busy. You don't seem busy enough that you care so much about the way this person is speaking. Why don't you do a whole bunch of my tasks? Yep, that's my advice. Delegate more tasks to these whiners. And one of the
teach
tasks,
a lesson.
You know what? One of the tasks should be read articles about vocal fry and up-talking and ums and pauses and the way that speech is sometimes evolving.
Yeah.
And it doesn't actually undermine the credibility of anybody. Sorry if I use that phrase, but that's the thing. It doesn't actually undermine the credibility. I'm undermining my own credibility by slurring my words. But the content of her teaching is what actually matters. Are the students listening? Are the students learning? If that's all good, then these folks need to mind their own freaking beeswax.
So you're saying punish them by making them read all these insufferable
articles.
If
you think teaching... Oh, boy. Oh, I gotta go. If you think teaching folks about different ways of perceiving, and also probably... I don't think this is Lucinda's job, but there's got to be a way to make sure that these jerks know that what they're probably doing is thinking about things they've suppressed in their own vocal tics and whatever to fit in or to sound more professional. And again, I'm using a lot of air quotes here, folks. And that they resent she hasn't done that and is still succeeding. So maybe go see a therapist, 24 other people.
My advice would be clean house.
Fire them
all. Start over.
Well, that's
Get
sort
rid
of like
of
canceling
everyone?
Them. Get rid of everyone except the...
Yeah, well, I can tell them you've all been canceled. You'll never work again.
I wonder if they use chalk.
The teachers?
Yeah.
Maybe.
She doesn't say.
I don't think people use chalk nowadays. It's all either whiteboards or like
smart
fancy
boards.
Smart boards.
Or laptops.
Holograms. Who knows what
they've got
nowadays.
What about overhead projectors? Remember those? And when they would, you would smell the like light burning if they used the wrong markers?
I don't think they use overhead projectors nowadays.
What about a mimeograph machine?
Jesus Christ. I like barely remember
I'm
those.
I'm 100 years old. Yeah. There was one in the room where we wrote an extracurricular murder mystery play in fifth grade, but it was like an unused room in my school.
I feel like... I remember as a kid in school, sometimes it was like the copy machine's not working. So I'd use like the mimeo. It was like, what the hell
what
is this?
What the hell is this? It's
this
such a
like
relic.
Very faint copy.
It's so,
of
it felt
what
so
I'm...
fragile. I think I had a math teacher in middle school too who like had a stack of
what
mimeograph
were they?
Tests.
How do they work?
It's like carbon, I think. It's like a carbon copy that you like actually churn.
Yeah. So
like butter.
Yeah. Well, same thing with those, like the credit card.
Those credit card machines. Yeah. My first job, we used one of those. It was a very old-fashioned place that didn't have, like one.
When
it
I worked at the Apple store now over a decade ago, there were times where the computers would go down. We'd have to use
at
those.
At the Apple store? Weren't you there to fix that?
Holy shit.
That?
It was like...
Bedlam.
Yeah, it was... If the computers went down, there was just like no backup, and you immediately had to revert to 1950s credit card technology.
And you have to just go on faith, because if somebody's card is declined, you don't know that till later.
No, we had like a phone number that we could call.
I went to...
And make sure that the... I mean, it was making sure the money was there, I think, but it didn't necessarily... No,
it
because...
It didn't charge it?
But we had that copy. So
to run
that's,
later.
Because I remember that because there were also times where... those copies were lost and somebody disputed the charge and was like, oh, well, we have literally
no evidence to track back to. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So that person just got a free MacBook Pro.
That's a pretty good scam. You cut the wire to the internet. Is that how it works? Mm-hmm. And then you go in with a dummy credit card and then you get your...
Back during this time, you know, it was like 10 years ago, you just had to wait until the store was too busy and then everything would go down. It was awful.
Oh, no. That's a bandwidth issue.
Yeah.
I had not that happen, but I'm reminded of when I went to the Jamestown Flood Museum. Is that what it's called?
Who knows?
I don't think it's Jamestown, but maybe I'll remember later, in Pennsylvania. And I went with my brother and he was kind of in a rush and I was like, we got to go to this flood museum. And it was the most old timey and wonderful museum. Don't worry, he keeps looking at his watch, but I'm not going to take that long to tell this story, which is like my...
I mean, we've only got so much time for flood museum conversations.
Well, that's what my brother
show.
Was thinking too, because he's like, let's get back on the road. But I was like, no, we got to see this flood museum. And by the way, it's fantastic. But they didn't have the technology. So when I wanted to pay for our $11 entry fee or whatever with my credit card, they're like, okay, well, we'll just have to call the credit card company and verify the charges. And it took like 8 minutes just to get us to... have the entry fee paid, and you know, I think it bought some of it ate up some of the time that I could have spent poring over the dioramas and the photographs and the relics of things left behind in the flood.
Well, luckily it seems like you've gotten past all that.
Johnstown? What the hell was that town called?
No, it's Jamestown.
It's Jamestown?
I'm thinking
of Jonestown, but that's a whole different tragedy. Yeah. So Lucinda,
mm-hmm.
I think what you should do is just sort of turn it back on. Why does this bother you so much, everybody else?
We had already
dust
the
chalk
problem,
off
I
your
thought.
Petticoats.
We were moving on. We were just talking about credit card
machines.
We're
just talking about floods.
Yeah. Oh, what was I going to say? I had another...
the Johnstown flood. Jamestown flood?
I had another tip about credit cards, but I can't remember what it is.
It'll come back to you. Do you think... Oh, was it about points? If anybody wants to get a referral code from me so that we all get more points on our credit card.
That's not how the show works.
I'm nuts about points.
Put out your... We have actual advertisers. You can't just give out referral codes for your credit
card. I'm
not
giving it out. I'm saying contact me
uh-huh.
at the old pharmacy I used to work at. It closed.
No, what the hell was I was going to say?
What
something
the hell's
about
the name
credit
of
cards.
Town with the
flood? All right, it doesn't matter. Next question.
I'm so tired.
Oh, man. I this is the name, and the person wrote, don't worry about pronouncing my name wrong. It's probably fine. So I guess that means
Jimmy?
I can use it. I'm going to say it's Waringa. W-A-R-I-N-G-A.
Waringa.
Waringa? Or Waringa.
Waringa.
Waringa, I'm going to say.
Say it different every time. Johnstown. The Johnstown flood. Confirmed.
Call him Johnstown. The big W.
Do we know the pronouns of this person?
We don't know the pronouns.
Okay.
Hi, I'm a huge fan of the podcast and have been really enjoying Christine as a host.
Thanks, friend.
My problem, and they put this in quotes, is this. I'm turning 30 in May.
Tiny little baby.
Just a few days before graduating from grad school.
Congratulations.
I feel like I should have to do. I feel like I should do something to celebrate. Maybe take a trip.
Yes.
But I have no idea and I'm overwhelmed with choice.
Johnstown Flood Museum.
Jesus Christ.
Solved. It's so good.
Some additional context if you need it.
Yeah, probably.
I'm getting an MFA in fiction writing from UW-Madison.
Congratulations.
I have some money saved up. Not tons, but I could afford a nice trip. Mm-hmm. I'm going to LA in January to visit a friend for a few days, so probably not that.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking the time to read this, and please pass on my best wishes. Best wishes
so sorry for
to Tim, his wife, and their baby. Best, yes. Waringa. Don't worry about pronouncing my name wrong. It's probably fine.
We want to get your name right,
yeah.
Waringa, but we're going to stick with Waringa because it just what we think it might be.
Yeah.
First of all, congratulations for getting an MFA in fiction writing, because stories are worth telling and we love art. Right, Tom?
Hey, speak for yourself. I like sports.
I like both. I contain multitudes and I'm bragging about it. I don't know. So Wisconsin, no. Don't stay in Wisconsin. Go somewhere a little more exciting. Yeah, yeah. Don't
well,
go
to Los it sounds Angeles. Like, to Los Angeles it sounds like they've got enough money to leave Wisconsin.
What about going to but the I location don't... of Jane's wedding? For Jane's wedding, we'll all meet there. I forget
oh,
where her wedding's going to be. Yeah.
In Mexico, I
yeah,
think, right?
Yeah. Maybe that.
Maybe Jane, hopefully you're still listening. You've got more invites to give out.
Jane, if you're still on the call, we're all going to be friends.
I mean, and you know, keep in mind, all of us are going to need a guest. We're all going to need a plus
oh, yeah,
one
yeah.
here.
Plus three for me, please. Just for fun.
Yeah, I don't know, because I've been thinking about taking like a vacation recently. You know, I haven't had like an actual proper vacation since before the pandemic. I've gone on trips that are like fun.
Yeah.
Of course.
You've gone on road trips.
Yeah.
Should we suggest a road trip? The problem is we don't really know like how far this person wants to go or what
right.
kind of fun they like
well,
to have.
Well, I mean, based on the fact that they're going to LA in January.
And there's a friend there.
Yeah. And they said, so don't suggest that.
So let's,
it sounds
let's
like they're
wipe
willing
out the whole
to
West
at least
Coast,
go as
like
far as
change.
LA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe East Coast. Maybe. Do you have any place to recommend in Maryland? Don't go to Maryland.
Wow.
Too boring. Have I just alienated you?
All of our Maryland. Christine, Maryland is our number one state for listeners.
I don't believe that.
No, it's California.
Really?
It's just the biggest state.
Oh, yeah. It's the most populous state?
I believe so, right?
What about Alaska? Or do we think we need to stick to contiguous?
Alaska is the actual biggest state, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean...
Is that still true?
I mean, things are changing every day. We don't know.
Alaska sounds boring as hell. No offense to anybody listening in Alaska. They're probably listening to this episode 5 years later.
They get their news a lot later. What about...
And the freighter, the little plane that drives, lands in with all the podcasts from the past 6 months.
All the tapes and their mimeograph.
Actually, like,
labels.
I kind of know somebody that lives in Alaska and, like, they spend, like an absurd amount of money on internet.
Ooh,
they have, like,
right, 'cause
three
it's so
different
remote.
Internet providers that each of them they spend hundreds of dollars and all that combined, they're like, I can. Maybe do a Zoom meeting, but it's going to have some problems.
That's
and like I have a router that ties all these together.
Do you think Waringa wants to go on a writer's retreat? Because maybe not
they've
having
had
internet
too much
would be
writing. Maybe they've been writing like a bandit for
I've
the
got
last
a great idea.
2 years.
Mm-hmm. Or four or three. Prince Edward Island.
In where is that? In Canada?
It's in Canada.
Yeah. Why there?
To do the Lucy Maud Montgomery tour. And
oh, Jesus.
Uh-huh. These Anne of Green Gables, baby. Avonlea.
Ah, boy, go to the Flood Museum.
That actually like do. Maybe make it a two-stop tour. The Flood Museum is fantastic. Oh, what about, what's your favorite historical reenactment site?
I don't
the
like
Flood
that.
Museum is not a historical
I don't like going to
site.
Historical reenactment sites.
Some of them are great. Some of them are
Old Bethpage. That's where I had to go, you know, a bunch of times as a kid.
Field trip. Yeah. Old Sturbridge Village for me.
What is your favorite place to go to in the contiguous United States of America?
Me? Well, so I'm the kind of person that my favorite thing to travel for usually is to see friends and see like their favorite things about the place where they live. But one of the places I've been to
so
sort
like
of recently
going to, like,
that I recommend.
Central Perk.
Yeah, the, and that one statue on Lafayette Street.
the couch outside the fountain.
Yeah. No one told me life was going to be this way, you know? I recommend actually Memphis. Have you been to Memphis?
No.
It's great.
Do you just Graceland. Walk around
You've
listening
got...
to Walking in Memphis?
I mean, you can.
Yeah. And think, this song's kind of about what I'm doing.
Yeah. And that song is a bop.
I've been walking in the
city. It's a beautiful song.
I've been walking in the city on my feet.
He's not nailing it.
Now, who sang that?
Mark
Bob Dylan?
Mark Cohn. A man called Mark Cohn.
Huh. One hit wonder?
I think a one hit wonder. He may have had like an album some people like.
He might
but
be
we've
big
never
in
heard
Memphis. He probably doesn't have to buy a
I
drink.
I bet he's not even that big in Memphis. But yeah, maybe he never has to buy a drink. You ever been
high
to...
a Mark Cohn?
It's like a tough
what?
Name. And they're like,
who?
Cohen? No, Cohn.
Cohn.
Have you been to Graceland?
No. I told you I haven't been to Memphis.
Oh, I didn't hear you. I was
only
thinking
about
it. I
would like to go to Memphis. I'd like to, I haven't been to a lot of like Park. I'd like to go to
Nashville?
Nashville.
New Orleans?
I've never been to New Orleans despite my impeccable accent.
You say it cool.
I've been to New Orleans. I think the only like cool southern place I've been to is Savannah. And I loved it. I thought it was like the coolest place.
And that's actually a nice idea too. You're graduating Moringa and you probably want to go somewhere warm. Wisconsin's getting cold right
now. Yeah, and you're like, oh, go to Prince Edward's Island.
Yeah, because honestly.
Go to Alaska. What are you, nuts?
I was She's warming up enough. Literally and figuratively. I think don't go to Florida.
Yeah.
But go somewhere a little warm and a little historical and a little, like, culturally rich. Yeah.
Or go to Florida if you want to.
Why?
Disney World.
I guess you could go to Epcot and pretend you went to all those countries.
That's true.
It's a
bring
a
back
little more
the pictures
bang for your
and
buck.
Be like, I went on a little
this
bit of a whirlwind tour.
On a world tour around the world in 80 days, but I only went to these couple of countries. And don't mind the fact that I'm wearing Mickey ears in all of the photos.
As a kid, I remember going to Japan in Epcot.
Mm-hmm. That was my favorite.
And just having such a great meal there. And I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. I think it was just very salty, and I just liked that.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. This is a long one. This is an essay.
I think we had some great travel ideas.
I need another woman's name.
Loretta.
Loretta. Because this person said their name or whatever name. So I'm going to go with the or
we'll
whatever
keep it
name.
Nice and anonymized.
Hello, Tom and Christine. I really enjoyed the Kelsey Grammer episode and already listened to it twice while working my job at a botanical garden.
Wait, Loretta, I love botanical gardens.
I listen and re-listen to The Complete Guide more than any other podcast. And I'm wishing you all well this holiday season.
Even Tom?
And other parts of the year to a similar extent.
Wait, this is a great letter already.
I'd love to hear your advice. I am a woman soon to be 30.
Everybody is so young.
Everybody's soon to be 30.
Are these exennials?
Zennials, you mean?
I've never realized that those are the same word. I've seen it in print and I've heard it said out loud. Generation Z.
Exennials, I think, are between.
Existentialists. Existentialists?
No,
I'm making a joke.
I think they're between millennials and Gen X.
No, we're the Oregon Trail generation. Anyway, go on with your question.
We're the Oregon Trail? That's not a thing.
That's a thing. Read it's about it.
It's not a thing.
Google it.
No, we're millennials, me and you.
Oh, yeah.
We're older millennials.
Geriatric,
but I'm saying if we were a little bit older, then we would be between Gen X and
we are between Gen X.
No, we're not.
Yeah, we're the Oregon Trail generation.
Anyway, I'm a woman soon to be 30 living with my girlfriend who is newly 40.
Ooh.
She moved from her very tiny hometown in the deep south,
Prince Edward Island,
to live with me in a metropolitan area in North Carolina. Obviously, the scale of a big city here is not the same as New York.
New York City, baby. Did you hear those sirens earlier?
But it is dramatically different from what she is used to. Yeah. So, I mean, the difference here is she lives in a city and doesn't have an ambulance is going by every 2 minutes. She always hated her small town and said it was her dream to move near a city. But after a few years living here, she is very disenchanted with what seems to be normal to me, i.e. traffic every day and being in a shouting distance of your neighbors. We are hoping to move from our current apartment to a house soon, and she has decided that she wants to be further outside the city, far away to be drastically decrease the population and traffic. She also only wants to look at houses with an acre of land or more.
Wow.
No modern neighborhoods like I grew up in. Like any other self-aware podcast listener, I'm not the most extroverted person. So, of course, I prefer not seeing my neighbors and feeling less stressed while driving. But I've never lived away from my family in the city I grew up in. Our apartment now, which is 20 minutes away from my old neighborhood, is the farthest I've lived outside of it. I'm not necessarily excited by the prospect of living in a small town without downtown offerings like experimental food, art, and theater. Or being far enough away to only see my family on holidays instead of frequently checking out my dad who lives alone. Aww. I can see pros and cons of both, and I feel somewhat indebted to her because she already left her home to live close to me. Mm. However, buying a house is a bigger commitment than renting an apartment, mm-hmm. and I don't think it's the best idea to take on a mortgage out of politeness.
I like Loretta.
Would you ever consider living in a small town? No. Do you think an hour or two drive to see family and friends would hurt your relationships?
No.
I know Tom spent some time in North Carolina, but where has Christine lived? Oh. Thanks for your opinions. And even if you don't answer this, thank you for making the show. I've listened for 6 years across two jobs. It's genuinely made my life better. Love you all in an appropriate way. Loretta.
Wait, I think we should do a meet and greet with everyone who wrote these letters. All right,
you're getting
a little... I'm a little too big for my britches. Yeah.
She didn't say, oh, and I'd love to meet Christine. I know, I'd love to fly across
country. I am cashing in on Goodwill I did not earn. And I have a lot of feelings about this one, too.
Okay,
what are yours? What are yours?
I mean, you should definitely talk about your thoughts with your significant other.
Yeah. Do we know her partner's name? Should we just call her?
She didn't say. She just referred to her as my girlfriend.
Okay. Yeah. And I also think there's some measure of risk. And I don't get the impression that Loretta doesn't love and want to have a home with her girlfriend. But there's some measure of risk of taking on a mortgage.
Oh, absolutely.
In a partnership in general. Not just necessarily if it's not a marriage. Marriage isn't the be-all, end-all, everybody. Jane, I want it for you. I know you both want it. But it's not the be-all, end-all for everybody. She doesn't want to live in a small town. And I think a person could go crazy in a small town.
I was singing the song. I was born in a small town.
You're really singing tonight.
I don't want to live in a small town.
Not the words.
So I'm coming up with a sequel.
Oh, maybe they should move to Allentown and then sing it, Tom.
Yeah, we're here in Allentown.
Nailed it. And then they're much closer to the Flood Museum.
You know, I got screwed up because I was trying to think of how to make the whistle sound.
That's the best part of that song by a lot. Are we helping solve this problem? That's just a fart machine.
They worked at a whoopee cushion factory in Allentown. It actually had nothing to do with the steel industry.
They're closing all the whoopee cushion factories down.
I mean, definitely talk to your girlfriend about this.
For sure.
Because
you want different things. But I think there's ability to compromise.
Yeah, two houses.
Yeah. Or, you know, a medium-sized apartment in a slightly less crowded neighborhood.
Yeah, what do they call that? A paid-on tet or something?
Oh, Pierre de Terre or something?
Yeah, Pierre de Terre.
I think we've got it.
Something along those lines. I came across it recently, and I hadn't seen it in a long time. I was like, oh, yeah. That's a neat idea. Having
Pierre
a little...
de Terre's for exennials. We could really get
a trend going. A little apartment that you use infrequently was the definition when I looked it up.
I don't know that that's what they're looking for, though. Because to me, it sounds like the girlfriend wants to be on an isolated plot of land where she can't see or hear anyone else.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't think, Loretta, you owe anybody anything because she moved to be with you. She moved to be with you. That includes making sure that part of what you both get is the place you want to live.
Oh, yeah. Because you can't say, well, I moved somewhere I didn't want to move to. So now you
we're both
have
unhappy.
To move. And now you have to move to somewhere you don't want to.
Yeah.
I do think there's a compromise here because you can.
I also think that.
You can live somewhere with an acre of land that still
art.
Isn't too far from like a downtown type area.
Yes, exactly. And you can live And I will also say, as someone who, she asked for more of my biography, which I'll share when I say this part of what I want to say.
Well, she asked where else you've lived. Not
I was born in. I could give a long biography. I think it's worth it.
We don't
it.
Have time.
I'm very close with my family. I'm a little bit obsessed with them, but they live 4-ish hours from where I live here today with the ambulances. And the pandemic's been a little bit hard, but besides that, it's still easy enough. We figure it out. My brothers come here sometimes. I go up there sometimes. My parents come here sometimes. I don't know who she means when she says her family, but I'm describing my own family, of course. And sometimes we meet in the middle. And I have friends where I'm from, too, which is Massachusetts. And many of them have moved away. But New England, this is too boring to say, I think. The point is, you figure it out. Yeah. And relationships happen and sustain, even if you don't see them as often as you're used to. However, if that is like a big piece of moving further away, like I wouldn't necessarily want to live a flight away from my family.
Right. Yeah.
If I didn't have a compelling reason to do so. And what I'm hearing from Loretta, which is a job she loves, or perhaps I'm projecting because of how I feel about botanical gardens. Which they're so beautiful.
Yeah. Yep.
I have a membership to the Brooklyn Botanical.
We don't know about this one Loretta works at. Maybe it's a real.
It's in North Carolina. I bet it's like very.
Maybe they forget to water all the plants a lot.
Loretta, is it your job to water the plants and you forgot because you're puzzling over this problem? Don't forget to water the plants.
I will say I currently live about, depending on traffic, an hour to 2 hours from my
your
immediate
family.
Yeah, and my extended family, actually. And it's fine.
Yeah.
Like,
you see your family pretty often.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I'm able to.
Yeah.
I think that that's, like, the big thing that you... That I can go see them without needing, like, a huge amount of planning or having to buy a ticket or anything like that.
Right. Yeah.
So it sounds like I could definitely see you can manage that part, I think, fairly well. It's more of the, do you want to live in a place with art and food
and culture and other people, even if you're not friends with your neighbors.
The word I was looking for.
Although it is nice to be friends with your neighbors, it's also nice to sort of pretend you don't see them. What about renting a whole house? Why can't they rent a whole house on an acre property that's just outside the city? You don't have to buy just because it's a house.
Right.
I know a gal that lives upstate in an absolutely haunted house with all these like bears and cats that live on the property. I don't recommend that. But they rent.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you can rent a haunted house?
Actually, that's a good point. I would
rent a haunted house. Well, that's a good point. I think that's right.
That if this is like a big change, then maybe renting at first is the way, you know, rent for a year or two to see.
And Loretta, if you hate it, she doesn't want that for you. We don't want that for you.
Yes. I think a compromise could be found here.
I think so, too. And keep up the good work. But you got to remember to water the plants.
Last one here. I need a man's name. A masculine name.
Hank.
All right. Hank. Hey, Tom and Christine.
Hey.
Thanks for the show and keeping us entertained. At work, we have a culture of doing group activities during break times. We work in an environment that suits this. Our offices are in an airplane hangar.
Oh.
And we operate planes in an air ambulance type of operation.
What?
This means we have pilots and maintenance guys hanging out, enjoying good camaraderie at work and during break times. Most guys like having a game of chess or similar type of board games. Others play ping pong or, believe it or not, cornhole. This is all great. But here comes the problem. I enjoy hanging out and I generally enjoy games, but some guys just get too into it and become overly competitive.
Oh.
As such, I prefer to use my break time to relax and chat. Recently, however, I asked too many questions about a new board game that was being played, and they mistook it for extreme interest.
Oh, no, Hank.
Now I get invited to play and also get coached on it during breaks when I would rather just be standing around doing nothing.
Uh-huh.
How do I break it to them that I am not that into the games? It goes without saying that telling them this straight is way too simple and I need something more elaborate and complex. Excited to hear your ideas. Other info if you need it. This is in Africa. Lesotho. L-E-S-O-T-H-O. That's
whenever you spell anything, I think either, of all the other letters, to be honest.
If that's a country, that's a very tiny country. Because I feel like I've seen this before, but not not enough to know it off the top of my head.
They should he should say he's unavailable because he's researching the Johnstown Flood Museum. That's my first idea. Go
by
on.
Competitive, I mean that some guys shout at the top of their lungs when they score a point in ping pong and have invested money in professional ping pong gear and even National Cornhole Association competition weight cornhole bags. Thanks. What did we say this guy's name is? Hank?
Hank.
Thanks, Hanks. Thanks.
It's Tom Hanks or Colin.
Thanks, Hanks. It's Chet. It's Chet
Oh,
Hayes.
Shoot.
Yeah,
he's
unfortunately.
He's so much different in print.
Hank. I mean, I would say, you know, he's talking about the guys being real into it. But then the example he gives, investing in professional ping pong gear and National Cornhole Association competition weight cornhole bags, how much could these possibly cost?
Well, I don't think it's how so much, interesting that best, you're talking best. About barrier to entry is not, it's enthusiasm to me, not necessarily cost.
Oh, but I'm just saying, like, of sports to get really into and buy, like, official gear.
Yeah.
I feel like cornhole bags and ping pong paddles, you know, that's a much cheaper hobby than, you know, certainly something like golf. But even like basketball, you can buy like very expensive shoes and gear. And
yeah, but they might be buying like very luxurious cornhole pouches. Are they called pouches?
No.
Bean bags.
Bags. Yeah. How much could they possibly cost? Especially because you need
$40.
A few, right? $40 each?
Maybe. If they're really nice. They're made with the finest
How
of
much
silks.
Do you think the nicest ping pong paddle costs?
$40. $40 is a lot of money.
I'll give my advice first. Okay. This is what I would do.
Yeah.
Just pretend you have a phone call to make.
All the time?
All the time.
They're in there all the time in that hangar.
But he's specifically talking about breaks.
Yeah. But there, it's breaks. You get at least one break a day.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if it's an air ambulance type of...
Yeah,
there
might
be a lot.
Is it like a firehouse, Hank?
That's kind of what I'm thinking. So there actually might be a lot of downtime.
And you can't just always be like, I have an urgent phone call hour after hour after hour.
It is tough. I definitely get the... like seeing somebody play a complicated board game. Like I'm guessing it's like a...
I was going to ask you to guess what game it is.
What's the big game everybody likes?
That one with the discs and you like get grains.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody knows the game we're talking about. But yeah, there are some like complicated
or
board
code
game.
Names. But if it's code names, I bet he'd like it. It's so fun. Code names.
I'm thinking this is more like a strategy. Based.
Yeah. Or like Risk.
Yeah. This is like a borderline role playing game. I'm imagining.
Yes. Or like, Ticket to Ride. Tom's falling asleep, everybody.
Well, I'm saying the
a game with complicated
strategy,
rules.
A strategy game.
Yeah,
like those
you
are complicated games.
You want to understand how it works,
So I totally get if you're asking questions, then yeah, people are going to take that as interest.
Yeah. Hank kind of painted himself into a corner by being curious.
Yeah.
But don't stop being curious, Hank. Just, I think you got to pretend. Oh, maybe you pretend you have arthritis in your fingers so you can't play with
but
the cards and the discs.
But other people can move the parts for you.
They don't want to. This place is brimming. Are you okay?
I yawn sometimes when I've talked a lot. I'm not tired, just my jaw's tired.
Oh, okay. It's been.
Christine, it's unprofessional to keep bringing it up.
Seems like you're going through something over there. But wait, I want to say this, which is that it seems to me like this hangar is filled with a lot of like kind of like weird, trapped macho energy.
Yeah.
That's like kind of being misdirected. So my advice to Hank is like to
cornhole and ping pong aren't very
and how
like
competitive they are about it.
Yeah. They and like
no,
they
my whole point isn't even about what games they're playing. Although I was surprised he led with chess. That wasn't what I was expecting. Right. When I was like, oh, this is a place where everybody's being beefy and
being
like
beefy.
Yeah, I kind of pictured everybody being beefy and giving each other a hard time. And it sounds like participation is like implicitly mandatory, right? So maybe it's a sort of coercive vibe.
Yeah, I think it's mostly just that there it sounds like there's just like bored. A lot of downtime. So yeah. It's like what about this?
Get
what
into embroidery.
Well,
then you have all these nice samplers you can put around the hangar.
I was going to say...
home is where the heart is.
Why would I say that?
No, I'm still talking about my idea. Oh.
I was going to say, it sounds like he needs his own thing to be doing during these break times. And then he can say like, well, this is... No, I don't want to play that because I'm into this.
Weaving, textile arts.
I mean, it could be anything. It could be something that he could do with other people.
Well, and it could be a large scale thing because A, airplane hangars are huge. We've all seen wings. B.
Could be skydiving.
Could be oh my gosh, they should do that thing where you blow air and you float.
I have a gift certificate to do that. and I got it last year for Christmas.
Do you think you can do that if you have glasses?
No.
I've always wondered that.
No,
oh, then
can't
I can't do it.
Blow the glasses off.
I think you put on goggles or a mask.
I mean, you could probably put goggles. Yeah, I think you do put goggles. So maybe they have goggles
they
that can
fit
over the glasses. Yeah, they probably can.
So Hank, try that.
Work that out.
They have a ping pong table. So I think you could do like a large scale project.
Like what?
Tapestry weaving, textile arts.
All right.
And then you get to like have blankets. I think you're trying to end this, but I'm not done.
If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgt.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Complete Guide. Follow us on Instagram at tcgte. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Tom Reynolds.
Hot dog burger.
You can follow Christine at Hot Dog Burger. Maybe. Maybe she'll allow you to follow her or not. You're not in the biz, Christine.
I'm not in the biz. I'm adjacent.
Well, how are you ever going to become an influencer?
Shoot. Good point. I'll accept everybody.
The
mailing address?
Patreon. Oh, yeah, the mailing address. We have a new P.O. box. I'm not 100% sure on what the address is. I think this will work. 950 Fulton Street, Brooklyn, New York, 11238. And then the number is 110.
110.
Yeah, just
no
put
letters?
110. No, 380110. Maybe put all those numbers on, but it sounded, the lady said you just needed 110, but then she was also telling me how to forward all my mail to this P.O. box. I was like, no, I don't want all my mail forwarded to this P.O. box. I just want a P.O. box.
There's a Brooklyn zip code that starts with a 3.
I said 11238. Oh, no, that's the box number, 380110.
I think you've got to say it again.
950 Fulton Street.
Fulton Street.
Brooklyn, New York. Zip code 11238. And then P.O. box number 380110.
I think if we play back the tape.
Or you just put 0.
You left out a lot of the numbers.
I'll put it all on tcgt.com, maybe.
Sounds good. Send us postcards from your trip, Moringa.
Yeah.
Sorry, I said Oh, I'm really combining the things.
Or Moringa, expensive gifts.
Yes. For Tim and... Tim's baby, really.
Yeah.
We don't we want some pots for our plants.
That was for his wife. Or
I know,
his
but I would like a
something.
Nice one too that made him think of me.
When I got this I just got this P.O. box today.
Ooh.
And the lady, you know, took me over to show me and she opened it up and she was like, oh, there's mail in there from the last person. I was like, who's got the keys? That's my mail.
Do you think that person's deceased? No,
it's like all junk mail. I don't know.
Yeah, they still might be deceased.
They might be deceased. I should have asked, do you think this person's dead? Yeah, send us mail. We used to have a P.O. box in the city, but then like neither of us have been going to the city lately. This by the city, I mean Manhattan. So let that lapse, and now we've got this.
You should forward that mail to this box.
It might be too late for that.
I don't. I don't think it is.
Any last, like, overarching advice for humanity?
Ooh, no pressure. I mean, I think the themes we can kind of highlight from tonight are follow your heart. Don't be afraid to speak up for what you need. Don't let other people bring other women down just because they...
But you can let other people bring men down?
No, but you can't let them bring you down.
You can't let them bring down men, even if they're bad men?
That's not really related to any of the questions that came up today. And I don't even think the airplane hangar men are bad men. I think just maybe Hank wants to read a book. Hank, what if you say... I'm really in the middle of a compelling book right now. Yeah. I can't play Risk.
And you Monopoly. Bring in a 23 volume encyclopedia. So you can
How'd you say it?
Encyclopedia. So you can tell them, look, I got a lot of reading to do. As you can see, I'm only on the A's.
I'm only on the A's, and I need to get to Z. Maybe, is he a Xennial? We don't know.
We don't know. He didn't give us his age.
Could be anything.
His relevant stats. All right. We'll see you next week.
Nice. Good luck, everybody.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.